Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Erica.
And I'm your co-host, Siva.
And today we are going to talk about the Adagio episode. Adagio, right? Adagio. Mm-hmm. The Adagio episode. It was the 12th episode of the first season of I Love Lucy and the 13th overall series episode. This one aired December 31st, which I found odd that they aired this on New Year's Eve. I don't know why. 1951 on CBS, directed by Mark Daniels, co-written by Bob Carroll Jr., Madeline Davis, and Jess Oppenheimer. Now, the synopsis for the Adagio is that there's an opening for an Apache dancer at the Tropicana. So naturally, Lucy wants a job. And to teach her the routine, Ethel insists the help of Frenchman Jean Valjean Ramon.
Want to say it's just like Jean Valjean Ramon.
All four of them? More of that later. Who has more than just dancing on his mind. Dun, dun, dun. Sorry. So
you need to insert that. Dun, 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 dun. Dun. Okay. Yeah. This episode is based off of, guess, can you guess? Oh, My Favorite Husband. Mm-hmm. Episode 66. We're still in, I think they did... I think it was the first two seasons
of
the first season,
yeah,
where there's a lot of overlap. This one is the French lesson, and
the French lesson
is the number 66. It's what's what this one was based off of.
Yeah, it also inspired the French Review. Mm. I guess they're both based off of this episode.
So okay. Do you know the history of the Apache dance?
Not before looking this up earlier today.
I knew it all along. Well, I did want to say before we get to that, I have always thought that this episode was called the Apache.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just seems like that would go better because that's the name of the show.
Right.
But, you know, I think there's the idea, because even, you know, Lucy does the Native American
dance at first.
You were a little aghast again, the last time I did it. So I won't do that.
You won't do,
you know, even though
yeah, you're right,
very few people I have the right, but I really do like when she goes wee wee wee. She's like, oh, French Indian. Oui, yeah. Okay.
So cheesy. Oh my god. Well, see, and it's like you said, the Apache dance is what they want to do. Apache. I think the Apache is the way the Frenchman says it, but the Adagio is a dance that just means male and female duet that features lifts and spins. So I don't know,
it
why
could be like any dance.
That could be any
normal dance.
Yeah
but the Apache is super dramatic.
Very violent.
Kind of violent. Yeah. Like she's being extra dramatic when she's, or, you know, pretending to dance.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's just the one-sided dance. I love that. But it is a very violent dance, and it was associated with Parisian street culture
from Paris.
From around 1900. Parents, if children are listening, put on the earmuffs.
The following is only for mature audiences.
There you go. It's sometimes said to reenact the encounter between a pimp and a prostitute.
So bizarre.
Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, like mock slaps and punches, man picking up and throwing the woman to the ground. I mean, it is a very violent dance, and it's very suggestive. And so, and what I find interesting is that in Lucy's autobiography, Love Lucy,
mm-hmm.
she talks about how she did this dance
mm-hmm.
when she was 12 and dislocated her shoulder.
I have many questions, of course, about what a 12-year-old is doing this dance for.
I was like, why this dance? Mm-hmm. Like, she could have done so many other dances. Why are they having a 12-year-old knowing the history of the dance?
Now, I know it's
dance.
Supposed to be interpretive dance. At least I hope it was interpretive dance, because the way that you described it is almost comical to think that it's still called a dance. To me, that sounds like an assault on stage. But
yeah,
mm-hmm. mock slaps and punches.
Theater, you know,
not know what to do.
Assault. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I don't know who, I mean, I'm being a little bit serious here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who thought, you know what, this would be a good thing to a make piece a of dance art. After.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm seeing a pimp throw a prostitute to the ground. Let's make this a dance. Like, I don't know. That just seems wrong.
And perhaps when it's probably a sign of the terrible times, it's not the prostitute is getting away from him and, you know, escaping and surviving. It's always degrading to the woman, I suppose, in those types of dances back then. So it's very odd that Ricky would want to do this at his club as a performance.
And maybe we should, have you ever watched like a professional do this dance?
Apache dance? No, I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't. I feel like I should have.
Yeah, we totally should
have.
Maybe
I should just like Google it real quick while you mm-hmm. continue because talking.
It sounds a little violent. It's all bloody at the end.
Maybe we should. It's a mock assault.
Oh, mock. I'm sorry.
Not an actual assault.
You're right.
Okay. So all of that aside, let's get into the nitty gritty, the actual episode. Yep. It opens with everyone sitting around. I'm sorry. I know this is, I'm just like already going a little bit. It's not off track, but I want people, like a couple, to come over and eat dinner with us. like I have my family and know, but I'm just talking like, and maybe it's all the COVID because I have friends around here that like mm-hmm. could, but it's just not something, I don't know.
They seem to do it often, still, just walking into the homes. Yeah, I know
people still mm-hmm. come over, but dinner doesn't seem to be like an at-home dinner, and then like card games or
you know what
a
I
movie
wonder,
after doesn't seem as normal.
What I wonder is, this is apartment living that they're doing.
True.
And mm-hmm. so when you live in apartment buildings or just complexes like that, I wonder if friendships and more, you know, camaraderie is much, much more present when you're that close as opposed to houses where you're so separated.
I used to live across the hallway from one of my very close friends
mm-hmm.
and I would just like walk over there
and
we would like play video games or we'd chat or like something. And mm-hmm. now obviously we can't do that. And so we're still friends, but you know, we often say we just miss being able to, you know, walk across the hallway. Cause there's something so easy about, you know, going, I'm having a rough day
and just showing up,
just walk across the hallway, mm-hmm. you know, like
you're right.
But instead of me going, I'm having a rough day, let me drive an hour and a half to get to their house. And then think about how I'm going to get back, you know, like,
but call first and text me when you're outside. Don't just show up.
Don't just show up. No one wants that.
Yeah. So
I have a husband.
And no. I think that's why this show was so endearing, because of their friendships. They just walked into their apartments, no knocking, no anything. And when someone locked it, they found it very unusual. Like, whoa, what's going on? Like, Why is it locked?
Yeah. So all right. Anyways, so they're eating. Mm-hmm. No. Only Ethel is eating.
Ethel's eating. Yeah.
Is that cake? It's cake. I think it looks like she's eating cake. It's the third piece. I believe she said that. Three is her, because Lucy's like, I think I have 7 or 8 more in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I was like, 3 is my limit. You know?
Oh my God. Yeah.
They're trying to make her, you know, make her out to be.
I feel like those jokes.
Have the audience understand that she's very hungry and likes to eat a lot.
I think those jokes much around like maybe the first, second seasons, but I think they taper off.
They taper off a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think you see it still, like when Lucy's pretending to go on a starvation diet, remembered that
for the purse or the dress.
It's a dress. Mm-hmm. And Ethel, you know, sits down to eat, and Ricky takes the whole thing away. Like, you can see how just devastated she is. So it's still there, but they don't seem to feel the need to.
Yeah, really, you know, drive the point home.
Drive it she home eats as a lot. Much.
Yeah.
But so they chit chat about that, and then they go put on a new face.
You see, that is such a 1950s term, or you know, phrase to say, because I don't think I've ever used it, nor have I ever heard it in you know, modern day. That's most definitely a, you know, a 1950s television thing, I think. But yeah, it's just, now here's the thing. In I Love Lucy, there's a lot of touching up of the makeup. There's a lot of going to the next room because your nose is shining, putting on a new face. I've never excused myself to go fix yourself up again. I mean,
again,
yeah. You know, maybe you do, you know, if I wear makeup, I go to the restroom, see how, you know, nothing's running. Okay, we're good. But I'm not going to announce it. Like, y'all, I'll be right back.
And then make someone else come with you. Okay, yes. Let's go. Powder our nose,
powder our noses. Yeah, and so they mention Orbox. I think.
Oh, Ethel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she then says, "Did you see the little polka dot dress?"
At Orbox, it's a moderately priced department store chain, supplied clothing for the series, except for Lucille's dresses, they were always designed by Eloise Jensen. Although their name was infrequently used out of Lucy, Macy's got more mentions. They did, now that I noticed that, they didn't mention Macy's quite a bit. Lucy Ricardo shopped there when the characters appeared on Make Room for Daddy, another Desi Lu series in 1959.
I do want to say that you can still buy like dresses and stuff.
From Orbox?
From them. Yeah. Or Orbox dresses. So, oh, okay. I mean, they're vintage.
Yeah.
They're quite pricey, but you can find them on places like Etsy and eBay.
Oh, nice.
If you want to, just a quick search. But, I mean, they're really cool pieces, you know.
Do they look like the type of dresses that Lucy wears
on
the show?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
nice. I love that.
There were some who was like, if I was a size 2 or 3.
I think our friend Carrie of the not so long trailer probably would
maybe
wear
she
an
has some.
Dress. Yeah, she probably
you
does.
Should ask her if she has some. But yeah, so you can still buy them. And then this is just something random, but you can see that Lucy's hairstyle's teeny bit different.
It is. It's much episode. More fuller. And it's so confusing to me sometimes when you're watching the series, because she goes from this small tight curls to the updo to the
I mean it's just the 12th episode, so they're still working on her image.
Yeah
and I think they're trying to play around like how do audiences kind of react to that, but
I think it made her look
they must
older.
Not have reacted
yeah
I think that the one that she had made her look younger when the one they
stuck with later.
Stuck with, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my words are like not coming to me today.
It's okay. But we got a co-host.
Exactly. There you go. Just find my words for there me. So okay. So they come out, and I just want to part where the guys are talking about how they want them to put on a new face and come out.
Fred's got They're his like, fingers crossed. I mean, the insults start from jump. I mean, and yeah. So he's
not. And then not wearing
no thin clothes,
no thin clothes,
there naked, wearing no naked. Thin clothes. Clothes. That's so. Of course, he's got his fingers crossed when the girls leave the room. Ricky's like, "Well, what's with the crossing fingers?" He's saying, "Because every time Ethel leaves, she says he's gonna put on a new face, and she always comes back with the old one." and so, yeah, Ricky says like, "Nope, it's still the same two faces." But yeah,
I. And then, of course, you know, the girls come out, they say, it's the same old. And Lucy goes, you know, whatever it is, we're not old, young enough.
Whatever it is that they're talking about, ours isn't young enough.
Ours isn't young enough. But when she asks if the Ethel ever wonders or wishes there was something else they could marry besides men, I was like, is that a risque question for the time? Or is that just...
Actually,
maybe there's an alien or like a third race that is discovered that maybe they could marry.
I think we're listening to it with 2021 ears. I don't think, while I do think that there are some risque, you know, messages and jokes here and there.
Yeah,
I don't think that
just,
it's just kind of like, I wish I could marry a house plant more than, you know, a man because
an alien.
Yeah. So I think,
I like mine, like a third unknown
species,
like hasn't been discovered yet. Yeah, that you can marry.
Well, we'll dissect that one later.
No. You don't need to go into the
and
analyzing so me.
They he gets a call, Ricky does, gets a call from Jerry, his agent, which we don't hear. We just hear his side of the conversation, because at that point, Jerry was already gone, the one who played Jerry, because in real life, they had a dispute over a phone. So Jerry
was it
Jerry
over Hausner. The phone, or was it over a phone?
Well, from what I can gather, it was a disagreement over a telephone scene. Now, does that mean that his voice was not heard and he wanted it to be heard, and it kind of blew up from there? I'm not sure.
Maybe. Because I was like, I wasn't sure. I saw that as well. And I was like, what is it? Did they have they were arguing over the phone, or?
Yeah. No. So that's.
But yes, you don't hear anything.
Yeah. That he needs a new. Someone for the act, for the apocalypse.
And of course, yes. And of course, Lucy's at this point.
Yeah.
That's when she starts acting crazy. And I love
the scene she
makes.
When
Ricky, I love the scene she makes. And I really actually like when Ricky's like, what do you mean? What's going on? My wife's acting great. Lucy's acting crazy.
And that's what's going on. Angrier and angrier and yelling at him like it's his fault. I told you to hold on. Yeah, because she's playing out the whole, like you said, Apache dance. Well, she's not understanding what it is exactly. So she thinks it's like a Native American dance, and she's like going, wee, wee, you know.
But then she starts doing like the violent stuff. And
Fabian's
like,
because Ethel explains me what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Ricky, can I be in your show?
And then she says, no.
And then they start yelling. He starts yelling at Jerry on the phone. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
the
man.
Whole thing. So she, of course, says that he's going to, or she, Lucy, says that she wants to be in the show. And that if she just can get someone to teach her how to do the Apache dance, that, you know, he couldn't resist and put her on the show. And I like how Fred keeps coming in and saying it'd be a wonderful opportunity
for
somebody.
Someone. You know, he's hinting at himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And that opens up the joke where Lucy says, you know, I wonder what Fred Astaire's doing these days. And actually, mm-hmm. at the time, he was quite busy.
Yeah.
Fred Astaire. Mm-hmm. Yes, Fred Astaire. He had just starred in Royal Wedding. And then in about 6 weeks after that, the Battle of New York, which is an MGM Technicolor musical, came out.
And they actually
were
in movies
later. So
four movies together.
They were. Was the last being the Ziegfeld Follies?
The Ziegfeld Follies, yeah.
Ziegfeld.
Yes.
In 1945. So they did work together, and I'm sure they knew that he was super busy, but it was like just a perfect zinger and little stab at Fred
to
not say, because you could tell. I mean, if they were even paying attention to him at all, they'd know that he was over there hinting. And I mean, I love how the next scene basically, you know, is Ethel. Yes, Ethel coming in and saying,
Use Fred,
basically, yeah. And she only says this because she wants a hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she kind of hypes him up to be a dance partner. But I guess he comes in and tries to explain to her what the Apache dance is, which is what you described earlier, which is a very violent between man and woman dance where, you know, he hurls her to the floor, which doesn't work because Fred.
I love that. She's like this and hurls her to the floor.
And it's not working. And so they trying to, what's funny is when they're supposed to meet eye to eye, you see how much taller Lucy Ball is.
She has to like bend and he has to come up a little bit. Yeah.
And so they're supposed to see eye to eye and kind of walk in the same direction and, you know, very aggressively or very exaggerated. And then. And then she stomps on his foot.
And then even when he sits out, he's like, you do it yourself.
Right.
She still ends up stomping on his foot.
Yeah, he left very injured that day.
So it was the feet, and then she throws him to the ground. And at that point, he's like, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this. And Ethel comes in, and that's when she says, you know what? I might lose a hat for this, But what was it? Her laundry?
Yeah, the cousin of the
cousin of a friend laundry. Mm-hmm. And that's when she goes, you know, Jean Valjean, Raymond. Ramon.
Yeah.
And actually, the name Jean Valjean is from Les Mis. Les Miserables.
Les Mis. Yeah. Yes.
Me too. Mm-hmm. We'll just do a random review on that. No,
we'll just throw it in there.
Throw it in there. Yeah. So I always think of that when I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But she suggests him, and she, you know, Lucy's like, "Yes, let's do it."
Then he comes over.
Oh wait, I did want to ask you your opinion before we get to him.
Yeah.
Do you think Ethel got her hat?
No. Well, you see, no, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. Not because she reneged on the deal. Not because she said the opposite, but because it's Fred.
Fair enough. And Fred will be like, "I got hurt."
Yeah.
Medical
expenses.
It doesn't. Yeah. Medical expenses.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think he got her
salts for his foot bath. Okay.
I don't think so. I think
probably not. She probably didn't. You're right.
So okay. Then so Jean Valjean. Ramon comes in and introduces himself, and he's played by Shepard Menken. And his career actually started at the age of 11 when he started appearing on children's radio programs. And after high school, he attended the Columbia University and later studied arts at the Neighborhood Playhouse Theater and then the Juilliard School of Music. Oh, nothing.
Cool.
I mean, wow, that's an extensive and very impressive resume. And this is one of four appearances he makes on the I Love Lucy show. He was also the store owner in Lucy Becomes a Sculptress. Yeah, they're kind of
like that one,
messing with her that she's just talented artist, but really it's just to make a sale.
Put this in my collection. Yeah.
Just throws it away.
Back in the,
He's the eye doctor and Lucy has her eye examined. I love that scene because she makes a joke and then laughs at it herself about the doctor says, "Can you see the numbers on the wall?" And the patient says, "What wall?" And she laughs and nobody else does. I love that. And then he's the counterfeiting artist in Paris at Last, the one who's pretending to paint just to sell, that he would cut off his right arm before.
Yeah. And they all end up having the same paintings at the end. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's the he walks in very passionate without even knowing this woman's name. He's already in love with her. And I know very aggressively French amorous. Friend. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, oh, madame, you have such a beautiful hand. And I love when Lucy's like, "Oh, well, I have another one.
Just I don't like just it. Like it." And so they want, he explains that the reason he's like that is because American women want French men to be amorous. I didn't know that. I was not aware that there was an expectation.
Like, really, if a Frenchman comes into my house and he starts acting like that, he's getting thrown out of the house.
If a random Frenchman walks into my house. Now, how would you know he's French? He's got like the striped shirt and the beret.
His name is Jean Valjean Raymond.
He's holding a baguette.
Yes, a baguette. A crepe in one hand.
Crepe Suzette, which we'll come back
to. Yes, we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah. And so he's, wanting to teach her to dance. He's shocked that that's really all she wants, because maybe, she thought maybe he wanted to start an affair with someone she doesn't even know. And so she panics when Ethel comes in and says, "Rookie's home," and so he thinks she's trying to hide him because, of course, again, affair.
But she's just trying to hide him because she doesn't want Ricky to know she's practicing.
Yeah.
To try out.
Yeah, so he's getting more, much more motivated and says, "Now I know how you really feel about me." Again, this is less than two minutes.
Gonna go get a glass of milk. go get a whole pitcher. How thirsty he is, man.
He's got a cow in the backyard.
See, works. It works. He's thirsty. Oh, it all works. It all comes together.
Yeah,
it anyways. Works. Oh my God. So then he does leave, right?
He makes ends him up leave.
Leaving. Mm-hmm. Is that before? When does Ethel call him a crepe Suzette?
Oh, that's not on? Till that's not till the end.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's
to be fair. I only watched the first half of this.
Oh, good.
I've watched this episode many times.
It's ingrained in your mind.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I just that part there.
So later on, well, and what's funny is when he's like, why are you so jittery? Why are you so jumpy? Right. And she's like, oh, because that, you know, first of all, what are you doing here? Well, because I live here, you know, no, but why are you here so early? Cause she expected him to be at rehearsal afternoon. And so, she says, I'm just so excited because you're here in the afternoon.
Yeah. He's like, maybe I should come home more often.
And she goes, no. And then the scene where he thinks it might rain, it might get cold, and they're throwing the coat and the umbrella from the closet. Throwing
the umbrella. Yeah.
Maybe not.
Really funny.
Yeah, yeah. So that's when she finally throws him out, is when Ricky finally leaves back to rehearsal, and she's like, no, I'm not having any of this. That was a little too intense, but he was smitten.
But I will come back.
And I will, what did he say?
Come back for you.
Be more romantic in your big, beautiful blue eyes.
Blue eyes.
And she goes, she does the spider.
I love that.
So the next scene is them in their bedroom.
And they're chit-chatting. Mm-hmm. So I really like this scene just because you see them kind of, you get just a teeny, and I know that they were acting. It was just a show, mm-hmm. but I feel like you get a teeny little bit of what they're
a glimpse into their real life.
Talk like they're just talking. Mm-hmm. They're getting ready for bed and they're just chit chatting. Like I like that because there's no until Jean Valjean comes back, there's no crazy antics or anything. They're just talking.
Yeah,
and just I like that. Mm-hmm. So and it's interesting that they're talking about living in the country,
right?
It's because
scene,
I know.
Yeah,
because season 6, they do go to the country.
Mm-hmm.
But so,
yeah,
it's a big move. In 10 years, we'll talk about that.
maybe. We're taking our time, people. We're taking our time. And so they do talk about that, but they discuss whether Westchester or New Jersey, you know, but. Then when he goes into, I think it's either the next room or the bathroom or something, is when he shows up, you know, in the window. Jean Valjean does.
Raymond. He comes in and I love this where, you know, she's like, go leave. And he doesn't. And so she ends up closing the window on him.
The blind.
And like, putting her hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. She and then she puts her hands on top of his.
Like they're his.
Oh yeah, okay. She pulls hers in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then puts and how did Ricky not notice that she had like man hands all of a sudden?
That she's randomly sitting on the windowsill for no reason.
And of course she can't light her own cigarette.
Yeah, because then her hand would move.
Yeah. So then Ricky gets his line where he's like, look at me, I'm making like Paul Henreid.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's a reference to one of the most imitated scenes in motion pictures from Now Voyager, where he lights two cigarettes. He has two cigarettes in his mouth at once. And it stars Henreid and Bette Davis. So.
Yeah, that's what he was referring to when he had both cigarettes in his,
mouth. Yeah, and then he gives. And they're talking about fresh air in the country.
And she's choking.
She's like puffing away because she can't take the cigarette out of her mouth.
The city noise and the city problems, and she's like, and the smoke,
fresh air. Yeah, the smoke.
Terrible.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's too good. And so, of course, when she's and you could hear the birds chirp, tweet, 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 tweet.
She sounds so sadly pathetic when she says tweet, 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 tweet.
So then, of course, you know, she he starts to slip, so he yells, and that's when everything kind of, you know, gets destroyed, and he helps him up, and Lucy's like appalled, who is this, you know, and he tells him that he's there to elope with Lucy.
Yeah,
I mean, he met her that afternoon and they're ready to elope,
apparently,
you know, so those must be some pretty blue eyes, you know. And so she said, what do you mean elope? Don't say anything before her stupid husband gets here. What are you talking about? He's my stupid husband.
And so then they challenge each other to a duel. And he challenges him to a duel with pistols.
And so I love that he slaps him with the glove.
Yes. And then Ricky takes the glove and slaps him back.
Slaps him back.
Which is, it actually is, was one way to start a duel back in the day.
So interesting.
Did you know there are a lot of rules for duels?
Didn't know that.
A lot of rules for duels.
Rules for duels.
Rules for duels. I didn't do like a deep dive on that, but maybe I can post something about it when we're like preparing for this episode. But there were a lot, you know, amount of paces, the type of weapon you could use, having a second there, like, but anyways, I digress. Jean says tomorrow at dawn behind Radio
City Music Hall.
City Music Hall.
Yeah.
Did you have something you wanted to say about
that? No, he just, I just love the part where he says, I'll hit you over the head with a conga drum, you bum.
You bum.
He's trying to figure conga out what conga drum, you bum. And he just says, it's a big, and you, it'll hurt
it
you.
Hurt. It'll hurt you.
So he tells her to leave the room because, you know, these men are about to duel. And I love that Rick is just on board with it. No discussion.
Yeah, like, okay.
We're just going we'll to shoot this. Each other and see who's the, you know, last man standing.
At least he's got to keep that up in front of Lucy, right?
Because yeah, that's true.
As soon as Lucy leaves, he's like, no.
Yeah,
before we get to the fake, not real duel, I want to I haven't done a little deep dive on anything this episode. So we're going to do a little one on Radio City Music Hall. It was where Lucy and Desi's film, The Long, Long Trailer, premiered in 1954.
Yes.
And they also thought that Forever Darling was going to premiere there, but it didn't. But okay, so Radio City Music Hall was completed in 1932. It was part of a larger development of Rockefeller Center. It was designed by architect Edward Durrell Stone and interior designer Donald Deskey in the art decal style with Samuel Lyon Rothfell or Roxy. So, I mean, there was public areas, you know, music hall features, murals, sculptures, other works. It just seems like it would be really cool. I mean, you can still go there because it's still open, right? So I don't know if it's still as cool as it was back then.
It opened,
December 27th, 1932. It was super lavish and it continued. But in the 1970s, it actually started to not be super financially successful. And they talked about how they'd have to shut it down. It was, I mean, demolition. Like, they were going to make it into office space buildings. And, you know, and so in response, people were like, no. Lieutenant Governor Marion Krupsek proclaimed that she was going to preserve the building. And that's when they started the rescue committee. And so they did, obviously, they did end up saving it and it didn't have to be demolished. But just imagine just
the history
having it be office buildings.
Just, like,
is where Radio City Music Hall was.
Used to be. Yeah.
Now people so work, you know, 9 to 5 there.
Yeah.
So, yes, we're back to the fakey duel because as soon as Lucy walks out, Jean Valjean. He's like, put that gun away or something. It like hides. And,
I thought we were going to duel. God, I hope not. Is this thing loaded? Absolutely. Oh my God. He's never used it. He just has a bad temper. And he goes around challenging people to duels. Perhaps everybody before Ricky just said no. And you know.
They got scared.
Also, and he's the only one who took him up on. Why? That offer.
Oh, yeah. Because. well. Jean Valjean says that, you know, he was told that American men won't say yes to a duel. And and Ricky's like, oh, I must have tricked you with my
Brooklyn accent. Which was hilarious because the way he said my Brooklyn accent was the most Cuban accented way he could have said it.
That's what made it so funny.
Right. He's like, oh, yeah. I must have fooled you with my Brooklyn accent. What? That was a great line though. That was perfect.
Yeah.
And he's like, so what are you doing here with my wife? Was that another boo-boo? And so
a boo-boo.
He says, oh, supersized because he has a wife and 5 children of his own. well, what are you doing?
What? Exactly. Like, so if American women expect that from Frenchmen, you are a married Frenchman.
So if she had taken him up on the offer,
you're done.
Well, what's the next step? Jean Valjean, oh, Raymond.
That would have been fun to see, like, the an episode up. Where she's like, mm-hmm. yeah, like an alternate reality where she's like, okay, let's go.
And he's like, but first.
Oh, no.
Divorce.
Yeah, first let me
or talk polygamy, about whatever.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, so that was funny. He's like, what? And he's like, no, I'm only here to teach your wife how to dance because she wants to be part of your show. And he's like, oh, okay. So now she's doing that. So like
they're gonna teach her a lesson.
Yeah, they can't just let it lie. Like, just let it go. Any
sane person.
Just go decided. Back and say, you know, no, you're not gonna be in the show. Why'd you do this? And move on and have dinner. No, he's gotta get back at her. So they you know, want to teach her a lesson, like you said. And then when she's outside in the living room, she's panicking, freaking out because she's thinking that someone's about to get killed inside that bedroom, which is kind of morbid if you think about
it. And then they shoot into the ceiling.
I was going to say,
it's an apartment building. Are they on the top floor?
Because they're not. Because if you remember, later on, you know, in the series, there's people upstairs and you've got the, you know, he's hitting the broom with the, so there's people living upstairs and they're just and shooting.
They shoot up. Like, that's not safe.
And not just once, no over and over.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because if it's a duel, there's only going to be one shot. Two at the most. You're right.
One each. Boom. And then someone dies.
Unless it's overkill by the winner. Shot. Right.
Yeah. You're dead.
So he comes out, you know, with and at that time, at that point, the pistol, Ethel and Fred are already there, kind of consoling her about what's about to happen in the bedroom. So he comes out and obviously that tells you that Ricky's dead.
Yeah. And he's like, you don't want to go back there.
Just a bloodbath in the bedroom. And so that's when Ethel calls him a crepe Suzette.
Oh, I love a good crepe.
And he just sticks his tongue out at her. So bad.
Crepes are so good.
Yeah, they are.
Do you like crepes?
I do. Yes. Mm.
Savory or sweet?
Oh, sweet.
Or both?
No, sweet. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I like mine. I like mine savory, like a chicken pesto.
Oh,
okay. Or like a honey mustard chicken.
I like mine like a dessert. Yeah.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. I'm weird about sweets. Like, if it's too sweet, I don't like it. So... Mm. As long as, I really like a simple, lots of veggies and like a little bit of Nutella in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. But anyways,
we digress.
Talking about crepes. And she makes some this weekend.
She calls him that, a crepe Suzette.
Yes. And so, of course, then Lucy's like, if only I had a chance to do it all over again. I just would have been happy. Being which
Ricky Ricardo.
It's so funny because in the next episode, she's right back at not being happy being Mrs. Ricardo.
We wouldn't have a series, would we?
It would be done, right?
Yeah.
The end, she becomes the perfect housewife.
Yeah.
So then, of course, Ricky's like, whoa, you have another chance, like whatever, or something, right?
What does he
say when he comes out?
He says, all right, I'll give you one more chance.
Yeah. Oh, and so they make up whatever. But this is the one where she pours water over him, right?
Yeah, the next scene. Later, because she thinks about it later. Yeah.
But like, if you think about it, it's an awful joke.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible.
To play on someone.
You're making them believe that you were just murdered. Other. It was just murdered in the next room. And you're about to walk into a bloodbath and... Your heart must have dropped. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he deserved more than getting water poured on him.
And so
I would have thrown the whole vase at him, the whole pitcher.
Yeah, so he says, you know, I just wanted to teach you a lesson. What? Yeah. Excuse me. No.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad she got the little bit of pouring water on him.
Yeah, she was upset. And so she says, oh,
and then they make up and they kiss each other. Blah, blah, blah. Another
sound of
ending a kiss. No. That's me just going blah blah blah, but then I said la 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 instead. No, no, that's not how they kissed. Well, maybe. Anyways, we don't know. So maybe he was like trying to. Anyways, yeah. You did mention that this. So that's the end of the episode.
Of the episode, yes.
Of this episode of the whole series. The episode was aired, as you mentioned, on New Year's Eve in 1951, and it was the first time there was a preview of the next week's episode, which is The Benefit. So that preview was shown. They didn't do that a lot for this show. I think they stopped doing that at the end of season one.
Okay.
But the audience, that like audience building type tactic is obviously, I mean, we still see that today. You know, coming up for
next
you know,
week. Yeah.
Next week or whatever. So they, another thing they started.
Pioneered. Yeah. I love that. So this one, this one's fun. Thanks guys. And like always, find us everywhere. YouTube and Instagram, Having a Ball Pod, and send us emails. And please, if you all have a moment, review. Anyway,
write a review, please.
Yes, Apple Podcasts. I don't think Spotify does it, but I think Apple.
You
can definitely
throw it on a YouTube, even an Instagram post. Just tell us what you like, what you don't like. And that's the only way we're going to be able to get better, grow.
So thanks guys.
So, thank you for sticking with us. Bye-bye.
Bye.